Amos chapter 8. And the Bible reads, "Behold, the days come, saith the Lord God, that I will send a famine in the land, not a famine of bread, nor a thirst for water, but of hearing the words of the Lord. And they shall wander from sea to sea, and from the north even to the east. They shall run to and fro to seek the word of the Lord, and shall not find it." Let's open with a word of prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, just thank you tonight. Lord, just thank you for the time that we've already had today. And Lord, I pray that you just be with me as I preach this little message. And Lord, just help us to just take this to heart. And Lord, just understand what type of world we're living in. Lord, just we love you and praise you in Jesus Christ's name. Amen. Now, when I read this, and I'm sure you guys have read this passage before and everything else, the first thought to me was, is this a prophecy of, from Malachi to John the Baptist, like that period of, where there was no written, books and stuff like that. And it could be. I'm not saying it isn't. But I think Zacharias is an example of someone that prophesied before John, too, his dad. So I know that's in the same exact time period. But, talked about all the prophets to John. I think there were prophets and everything else, too, up to that point. But the point is that there are times when the Word of God was scarce and when there was famines of the Word of God. In 1 Samuel chapter 3 is another case of this. 1 Samuel chapter 3 and verse 1, it says, "And the child Samuel ministered unto the Lord before Eli, and the Word of the Lord was precious in those days. There was no open vision." Now, just to clue you in, when it says the Word of the Lord was precious, that doesn't mean that it was precious to people, meaning like they held it dear. It means that it was rare.
Yes.
Okay?
That's right.
And there was no open vision. Okay? And what I want to preach on tonight is the fact that we live in a world where there's a famine of the Word of God.
Right.
And it's not because we don't have it readily available.
That's right.
Okay?
True.
We have the King James Bible is free on every app that you can get on your phone.
That's right.
You can get eSort on your computer and just search everything. It has the greatest search engines in the world.
Yeah, amen.
The King James Bible, we can get a dollar, or 50 cents at the Dollar Tree. It's not copyrighted. You can just copy it off the internet if you wanted to. And we have it readily available, but yet no one knows it.
Right. That's right.
No one reads it, and no one proclaims it.
Right.
Now, I use that "no one" loosely because there are some people that do.
Right.
Okay? And I do believe we are in a church where people do proclaim the Word of God.
Yeah.
But look around the room today. Now, I know this isn't the whole church, but If I were to look at a percentage, this is what I'm looking at. When I'm looking at the world, and I look at people that actually read the Bible, actually proclaim the Bible, that actually go out and give the gospel, this is what I think of.
Right.
Look at the seats in this room, and look at how many people are sitting here tonight, and that's about the percentage I would look at, if not less, in the world.
Right.
Okay. And what we live in today is a world of a famine of the Word of God. I already had this laid out before I went to go lift today, but a guy came up to me. I was just getting out of the gym, or I was getting out of the locker room, and he asked me. He's like, "Jason, how are you doing? How's your marriage? And it's great. It wouldn't change a thing." And he's like, "Yeah." He's like, "My divorce." He just went right into the fact that he had a divorce and everything else. And I kind of knew that he did, but I didn't really, I don't know this guy that well, but automatically throws that at me, and, it's like people just always want to just, see what you think about it, they're just like, do you think it's okay, that I have a divorce or whatever, and he kind of just goes through his whole story about how his wife cheated on him and everything else and all this stuff, so I'm like, I'm leaving the gym, I don't really need to know all this information, but here's the thing. So I said to him, I said, that's a pretty harsh thing. I said, if we were following the law of the Bible, I said, she'd be put to death and you wouldn't have to worry about it. And I'm in the gym, okay, so there's people around, right? And he looked at me like I had three heads, okay? But here's the thing. It shouldn't be that big of a shock to hear that.
Right.
That's right.
Because the Bible says that. Right. It's not me saying that. It's not like I'm just trying to get a rise out of everybody that's around me. I'm just proclaiming what the Bible actually teaches. And I said, you know, if we follow the Bible and we follow the laws of God, I said, a lot less people will be committing adultery.
Yeah, that's right. Amen.
If people were actually getting stoned for committing adultery, if homosexuals were being stoned, if murderers were put to death for their crimes, then there would be a lot less crime.
That's right. Amen.
And the law of the Lord is perfect.
Amen.
Yeah. And it's of course converting the soul and everything else. But he immediately, when I said that, he said, well, you know, I couldn't tell if he was joking or if he was on my side or whatever, but that was probably more, you know, a backhanded thing. And he said, well, that's what the Muslims are doing out there with all their women and everything else, just taking them out on the street and burning them and stoning them and all this stuff. But it's a backhanded comment because it's like, oh, you know, all these, you know, ISIS people are doing this stuff. And this is what Christians are saying today, is that
right.
That it's inhumane to stone somebody or to put them to death, and they say it's inhumane and that it's wicked and everything else, and that Islam is wicked for doing it. That's what the Bible says.
Yeah.
I don't care, you know, the clock is, a broken clock is right twice, two times a day.
Right.
You know, just because Islam got that part right, and not to say that they're even doing it right, because, you know, you had to have two or three witnesses
to
put someone to death. And you have to have a justice system too. You got to have judges.
That's right.
Half the time they just pull these people out, and you know, the husband that has three other wives is saying this person committed adultery and put her to death. You know,
yeah.
This is the kind of circumstances we're working with here. So, just because the punishment should be that for an adulterer doesn't mean that you know, that they're doing it right.
That's
you
right.
know, and
That's
everything
right.
else over there in those nations. But it's one of those things where I'm talking to somebody, and it should be something that's well known,
right?
This is not foreign. This is not. I didn't make it up. You know, this has been in the Bible for thousands of years,
right?
And when I said that, it's like it got silent. Everybody just looks at me like I'm this crazy Looney Tune. You know, like it's what the Bible says.
That's right.
And this is something that when we go out soul winning, more and more people don't even know who Jesus is.
Right.
In America.
Right.
I'm not talking about Muslims. They actually know who he is probably more than other people. But we ran into a guy that you witnessed to.
Yeah.
He didn't know that Jesus was God. You had to prove to show him that's what the Bible said. He still didn't end up believing. But how many people do we run into that don't even know who Jesus is?
That's right.
Now, I'm not talking about Jehovah's Witnesses. I mean,
right.
Yeah, I expect that out of them.
Right.
That's what their doctrine teaches. But most people that just go to church and everything else, they're like, oh, well, he's the Son of God, you know, but he's not God. So it's just a famine of the Word of God. It's something that is precious in these days, even though it's more available, I believe, today than it ever was in the whole history of the world. We have it on our apps. We have it on this. And I was thinking about this as I'm, like, listening to Alexander Scorby in my truck as I'm driving down the road, on how good we have it with the Word of God,
Amen.
And how awful it would be if we don't use that opportunity.
That's right. Amen.
Because we have it to where I can just pull it up on my phone. I can just search scriptures. Just search a word. You know, can you imagine back in the 1700s? You're like, you know, when was this used? And be like, well, I'm going to have to read through the whole Bible again to figure it out. You know, now I can just put it in the eSword and just, boom, there's all the verses that it says it in. Or sometimes I don't even remember what book or anything like that. I'm just like, I remember it had like these two words in it. Or maybe it was like this, and I'll just, you know, start eliminating things, and then I'll find it like in a couple minutes. You know, before it'd probably be like, you just need to read through the whole Bible again. So it's just one of those things where it's so readily available, but yet we as Christians don't use it. And actually, the unsaved I can understand, because they're not in church, or if they are in church, they're not in a church that really preaches the Bible. But here's the thing. We have a famine of the Word of God in most churches, and I put that in quotations because most churches don't use the King James Bible.
Right.
So almost these churches are using some false perversion that isn't the Bible anyway.
Right.
So when they quote all these verses and they quote all this stuff, yeah, it's going to sound like the world because it's not the Word of God.
Exactly.
So then, and then second, you know, the churches that use the King James don't ever use it. They get up and they read one verse out, and then they just talk the whole rest of the time. So, and I don't want to hear anybody ever complain on Wednesday nights when pastors turn into like a million scriptures like we do. Because I'll take that any day over the week than going to a church where they just read one verse off and then just talk about their opinion.
Amen.
You know? And it's hard. It's a lot harder for him to preach false doctrine if he's just giving you Bible verses every single point he's making. So it's really hard to get off the Bible when you're doing that. And so I just love the Wednesday nights. And sometimes when we're in tabernacle, it can get dry sometimes when you're going through that stuff. But when you're going through the Bible and you're just looking at verses and everything else, you're going to get something out of it.
Amen.
You know, you're going to maybe look at a verse and be like, "Oh, that's a good verse." You know, if anything. But I mean, I'm not saying that the Bible studies are of course good, but but the thing is that there's so much Bible.
Yeah.
It's just fantastic. We need that. We need to have that Bible. We need to just be hearing it constantly.
Yeah.
Okay. And even when we went through all the Exodus and all the judgments and everything else, that is applicable today.
Right.
Now, our government, of course, doesn't put to death homosexuals. They don't put to death adulterers. In a lot of cases, we don't put to death murderers. But that's the way it should be.
Amen.
And we should be saying that's the way it should be.
Yeah.
I'm not saying to go out and let's go stone people. I'm just saying that that's what the true Word of God says. That's what God says, and we should just proclaim it. Most Christians don't read their Bibles.
Right.
Most Christians that are in this church don't read their Bibles. I would say that if you were to look at a percentage, 25% maybe have read through the Bible from cover to cover in this church. Once.
Right.
Once. In their whole life.
Right.
Okay? And it's a sad thing. And that may be a high statistic, sadly. Okay? Because it is very sad to see how many people, and I know people that have gone soul winning and just like been good soul winners and still haven't read through the Bible all the way through. And the thing is they're good people and everything else, and I'm not downplaying, that we have good people in the church and everything else, but we need to take this word, and it needs to be precious unto us. It's not precious to the point where we rarely ever read it, but we need to read it and to know it so that we can proclaim it. Jesus said, what I have told you in secret, that proclaim ye upon the housetops.
Right.
Okay? If there's any verse in the Bible, I don't think there's ever a wrong time to say it.
Amen.
Okay? I'm not saying go to a funeral and start preaching Luke 16 at them and say, your family member's in hell. Get saved. I'm not saying, okay, there's understandable, times when to preach certain passages and everything else. But all these passages, everything, every word of God is pure.
Right.
It's all profitable.
Amen.
There is nothing in the Bible where I need to say, well, I probably should never say that.
Right.
I should probably never read that verse, right? And people will use it. They'll be like, oh, that's just too much, too harsh. When it talks about, Sennacherib talking about how, he wants them to drink their own piss and eat their own dung with them. That's a hard saying. That's some harsh words. When God says he wants to smear dung in their faces, that's what they think about, and he thinks about their sacrifice. Maybe some people need to hear that.
Right.
Maybe some people in the church need to hear that what they're doing in their Christian life is, that's what God thinks of it.
Right.
He'd rather just smear dung in their face than what they're doing.
Right.
When they get up there with their rock band, when they get up there with their FCA or whatever, and all their, college groups and everything else that blaspheme Jesus with their long-haired hippie outfits and everything else, and the Passion Christ thing that goes on over there at Chestnut Ridge, it's God, I'm sure, would want to just put dung in their faces because it's blasphemous.
Right.
But it's the lack of the Word of God. The Bible says in Proverbs 29:18, it says, "Where there is no vision, the people perish." And I want you to turn there real quick, and this is what I'm going to end on right here, is that we have a famine of the Word of God, and it is our job to proclaim it. If people aren't going to read their Bibles, we need to read it for them. And if they're not going to read it, we need to tell them what it says. Okay? And we do that every single week when we go out and preach the gospel. And how are people going to hear without a preacher?
Right.
Okay? Now, as a saved person, you need not that any man teach you. because the same anointing which you've received of him abideth in you, and he'll teach you all things. But, of course, the unsaved need to hear the Word of God. And they need to hear the gospel preached. But in Proverbs 29:18, the Bible reads, it says, "Where there is no vision, the people perish. But he that keepeth the law, happy is he.
Amen.
We need a vision here in our church. I believe we do have a vision, you know, to win Morgantown to Christ. And of course, we have a vision to win West Virginia to Christ. We have a vision to win the whole United States to Christ. And as you can tell tonight, reading the missionary thing, we have a vision to win the whole world to Christ. Okay? Where there is no vision, the people perish. And they that love the law, or that keep the law, and keep that in your mind, those that keep the law. How are you supposed to keep the law if you don't know it?
Right.
Amen.
And that's the case tonight. The man that asked me that question, he doesn't know the law.
Right.
How is he supposed to keep it if no one ever tells him or if he doesn't know? Now, it's still sin. You know, it's ignorance, but it's a sin.
Right.
It's not as bad as knowing the law and breaking it on purpose. But in Acts chapter 2 and verse 17, it talks about young men shall see visions. In the last days, if you read Joel, of course, that's where he's pulling it from. In the last days, you know, young men are going to see visions, old men are going to dream dreams, okay? And I believe this to be talking about the Word of God and talking about how we're going to have a vision to win the lost. We're gonna know the Bible to where we can proclaim the truth. It says in Philippians, it says, do all things without murmurings and disputings, that they may be blameless and harmless, the sons of God, without rebuke, in the midst of a crooked and perverse nation, among whom you shine as lights in the world. The world is groping in darkness today. They do not have the light of the Word of God. And it is our job to give it to them. It's our job to hold forth the Word of life, that we may rejoice in the day of Christ, that we have not run in vain, neither labored in vain. So let's just end with a word of prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, we just thank you tonight. We just thank you for the fellowship that we have. I pray that you be with the next person that preaches. In Jesus Christ's name, amen.